Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Dane Neal is on the air with us. And I happen to be listening to your On the Road show on Saturday. It was, I think, 3 o'clock, which is right in the middle of your 2 to 4 p.m. window.
Yes.
I enjoyed you.
You got a window, and there was the middle of it, and you're right in the center. Mm-hmm. That would have been right. That's
great
called
job.
The sweet spot of the, of the program.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Wendy. You know, I appreciate you listening. Sometimes you know how it is. You know, sometimes you understand that people are listening, but you're not necessarily thinking about what individuals might, unless it's, you know, your grandmother's texted you, or
it was
your
mom
said,
it was
like,
me.
Yeah,
I texted you.
You
enjoyed your Lou Ferrigno interview and your Michael Rooker interview.
Yeah. Michael Rooker was a lot of fun. You guys have him in all the time, and it was really, really cool to be able to sit down. And it doesn't happen all the time. I mean, like in this, you get to interview notable people on a regular basis that mean things to certain people. But for me to interview him was really, really cool.
Oh, good. Very, very good. Another Lou joins us today. You are now doing your one Lou per week thing.
Well,
and today's Lou is who?
We've got, we're obligated to maintain a certain level of Lou. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep that going here and excited to have him in. You think about some of the trends that happen in the food scene, spirit scene, you know, where something comes onto the horizon, may have been around for a long time, but it reaches a level of prominence that people are like, wow, this is great. Then everybody gets into it, enjoys it kind of at a mass level. And mezcal is one of those that I'm not sure if it's, you know, quite at the whole level of Limerita Bill, you know, yet, but it's the kind of thing where most people have heard of it. Most people have maybe know what it is or think they do as kind of the, you know, the extra step cousin of tequila. But there is so much more to it. It is one of the more unique and nuanced spirits with a tremendous backstory and history. And so I thought it would be great to have the mezcal evangelist in himself, the founder of Sacred Agave, the one and only Lou Bank. And I will say this, he won't say it, but one of the foremost, maybe premier, certainly the one in the area here, experts in the world of mezcal. Lou.
Lou, how are you?
Hi, Lou.
I am well. And just to go back to what you were saying earlier, I think you'd actually like me when I'm angry. So
unlike Lou Ferrigno,
exactly.
Who you do not like when he's angry.
No, you do not.
Can I tell you something that might be the wrong thing to say? We haven't rehearsed this in any way, shape, or form, but when I think of mezcal, I think of the worm.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. As Dane was saying that, like, everybody knows it. I would say if we went outside right now, first of all, nobody would be able to hear us. But second of all, we stop 100 people... We stop 100 people walking by this window, right? And I would guess that maybe 20 of them would have heard of mezcal. And of those 20, probably 15 would think exactly what you just said, that it's that stuff with the worm
in it. It's the tequila with the worm at the bottom of the bottle.
Yeah, you know, the places that Dane and I hang out, right, the finer restaurants and food festivals and everything, those people are in on it. This is like, this to them is manna from heaven. But I think the broader audience still doesn't really know about mezcal. And even if you break down, if we go into our bubble, into the food world bubble, the foodie bubble,
bloop.
And start, we are there, and start talking to those folks about mezcal, I think you'd find out pretty quickly that while they talk about it and they love it, they don't really understand it, because you're not wrong. Mezcal, really, if you just look at the numbers, is the stuff with the worm in it.
And I thought that was always kind of like a cheaper, not as quality version of tequila, and that's why the worm was put in it for more frivolity.
Yeah, you know, like I would say that it's probably marketing that created the whole worm in the bottle thing, but there are hundreds of stories. I don't know which one is true. What I do know is true is, you know, you've got Bud Light, one of your sponsors. I'm going to say Coors. Okay. You've got Coors, right, which is a beer.
Yeah.
But then you've also got you've got Three Floyds, right, in Munster. It's also beer.
And you can like them both, because I do.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And there are absolutely cheap mezcals with a worm in it that, you know, honestly, like if you corner me and make me tell you the truth, I kind of like the flavor, but not as much as I like these beautifully made traditional and artisanal agave spirits, many of which actually aren't mezcals because they're not certified as mezcals.
What's the difference between just bare bones? You're an expert at this for people who are not, though. mezcal and tequila are different in what ways?
Well, okay, so I'm going to make this really difficult to understand for you.
All right,
is that good?
That's
okay.
The best.
So,
thank you.
So mezcal, in theory, is sort of like a category, right? In the same way that whiskey is a category, and underneath whiskey, you can have scotch and you can have bourbon, like that, right? Beer is a category, and underneath beer, you have lagers and ales, and underneath ales, you've got stout, right? So there's like these subcategories. Mm-hmm. So mezcal used to be category. Until the Mexican government seized ownership of the word. And now you have to be certified to be mezcal, which is really confusing because tequila was a kind of mezcal. Well, now it can't be a kind of mezcal because you have to be certified to be mezcal.
And like the champagne thing has to be from France.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So it gets very confusing. And I hate the Mexican government for that.
Oh.
And now they'll probably never let me back in their country.
They're big listeners. You know that.
They are listening now.
Yeah. That'll be your loss, by the way.
Thank you. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that I know that on the tequila side, and we've seen maybe in the last, not really that long, maybe 5 years or so, 7 years, where you've had that tequila kind of blend into a premium spirit where people are taking extra time kind of diversifying. They've always done that, but then making it something that's really, really expensive, like what you're seeing kind of with rum over the last couple of years. See, everybody's got kind of their turn at the table. I want to hear, and if you could share with the listeners, on the mezcal side, so much of what you appreciate and what people who know appreciate is that traditional process. And when you see some of those photos, this isn't like, hey, I've got a charming copper pot still in the middle of wherever. This stuff looks ancient, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like that mosquito that they found in
Amber.
And thank you, the mosquito in Amber. It's fascinating to me. The first time I went down to Mexico and visited a palenque, basically a distillery that's connected to somebody's home, where they're making traditional and artisanal agave spirits, I was blown away. I started a distillery in Oregon, and everybody who likes to drink has gone to a distillery for a tour. And so I thought I understood what this all looked like. And I walk in this guy's, his factory, and quote unquote factory.
Right.
And it, what I'm seeing looks like a brick oven pizza cooker, right? A brick oven for pizza with a chiminea dropped in the middle. It's the weirdest looking thing I've ever seen. How did this guy come up with this, right? And so a few days later, I'm in Mexico City at a used bookstore, and I find what is in essence like Farmer's Almanacs from 1849. And I page through the volume where distillation is, and I find the blueprints for this guy's still.
Mm.
And like, was it state of the art in 1849?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this guy he's not using dials and knobs. He's not using any kind of measurement tools, modern tools, to do what he's doing. He's using his five senses, and he's using wood fire to heat his still. It's unlike anything. It is slow food in a bottle when it's done well.
And it has a smoky taste because of that?
I would actually, like, I could sit you down and taste your stuff, and you would find what you would regard as smoky characteristics in it. But I would argue that what you're tasting is actually roasted sugars, not smoke.
Okay.
Because while there's smoke in the process, it very rarely touches the actual spirit when it is well made.
Got it. There's a difference between roasted and smoked, definitely. I get that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Though both of them are euphemisms for things you shouldn't do.
Right. Well, Lou, thank you
baked
for pointing
as well.
That out.
There you
thank
go.
You for pointing all that out.
Yeah.
We will discuss this further in just a little bit. Lou Bank is here. Dane Neal is here. And we're here. Bill and Wendy, if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. We'll get that done. It's WGN.
Dane Neal is here. And we are talking mezcal. Am I saying it right with Lou Bank?
Yes. Mezcal? That's good enough. Everybody knows
mezcal?
Yeah.
Mezcal?
Mezcal.
Mezcal.
All right, what were we were talking, it's under the tequila umbrella, but it's...
No, the opposite.
Right.
But again, like since the Mexican government took possession of the word mezcal from the people, now what I say is agave spirits, and not everybody agrees with me. There's a lot of debate, but it's an agave spirit. They're all made from agave. Mm-hmm. Tequila is made from one agave, blue agave, in a specific region. Mezcal is made also in a specific region, but it's a broader region than the tequila denomination of origin, and it's made from different kinds of agave.
We've got some here.
Is this going to be on the final, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yes.
I see Lou like writing on a chalkboard loudly, right. And this is this. And
yeah.
Anyone.
As the education happens here and in restaurants and and with chefs here in Chicago, one of the things that is one of the things that he has done, not only just as an ambassador for the spirit. You know, we run into a lot of those people who are fans or working for or on behalf of something. And so he's doing that not only here, but also traveling the world. You think our close proximity to Mexico, you know, we've had just by nature of many spring breaks, mm-hmm. you know, and travels and everything. We've been able to taste certain things like that. He's traveled, though, to Italy, to London, to Scotland. Right. And shared this as kind of an at par spirit with the ones that they have. And Dude. And talk a little bit about, too, how you're trying to educate not only, you know, the world into why it's great and special, but also the people that are making it.
Yeah, yeah. So, in fact, one of the tastings that I did was for the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, arguably the largest group of spirits collectors in the world, most sophisticated spirits collectors in the world. And after that tasting, I had a number of those members come over to me and say, you know, you could take any of the master distillers out of Scotland, bring them to Mexico to make this stuff, give them a year, and they still wouldn't be making it. Hmm. It's so complex and difficult to make. But you could take any one of these master distillers out of Mexico, bring them to Scotland, and in a couple of months, they'd be making amazing scotches.
Why is that?
It's because they don't use tools. They use their senses. They use their sense of smell, taste, touch, their hearing yeah. to determine when things are ready and when they're done. And they do it in a way that nobody else does it anymore. It's absolutely a lost art, except yeah. in Mexico, where there are thousands of these amazing, gifted people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who yeah. are making these beautiful spirits. So what I am trying to do is get more people to drink the great stuff. Mm-hmm. In fact, I helped to connect a local organization, CH Distillery, who makes great vodkas here, helped connect them to a friend of mine in Oaxaca to start importing some of these uncertified agave spirits that are going to come up here in small batches, 40, 80-liter batches under the name Cinco Sentidos. And it's going to be some of the most beautifully made agave spirits.
Cinco Sentidos.
It yeah, that's Spanish five, for five senses.
Five Sentidos.
Did you
smell the aroma of this first
yet.
One that Dane no. has passed out? Because I have to tell you,
Dane has passed out from the aroma.
I'll admit it. It completely caused me to salivate. Oh. It's like all of a sudden I smelled the aroma and it's like I couldn't wait to have it.
There you go. Yeah. You know, and this is what I'm finding over and over again as I talk to chefs, talk to bartenders. They are picking up on the nuances of this, and it's like nothing they've experienced before. And that's really where I think the boom is. I think more so than general consumers, it's in these people in the industry, in the food and hospitality industries, that are starting to really get deep into agave spirits.
It's pretty warm. My lips are on fire.
You know what? It's warm and cold at the same time, which I don't understand, but it is. How am I getting it warm?
Are your
and
lips
cold
burning?
My lips are not burning, but I can taste it in my throat. There's a hotness and a coolness to it.
There is a way to taste this, a specific way, and I would have stopped you had I thought about it. But so what I like to tell people to do is
I'm using a silly straw. Is that the wrong way to do it?
Of course it is. You've got one of those helmets with the one in each.
Yes. Anyway,
so what you want to do is take three sips, and each of those three sips should be the smallest sip you've
Mine
ever taken
was tiny.
Of anything.
And my sip was pretty small too.
Three sips.
Does it get you drunk on one taste?
It's entirely possible. This stuff is probably 55% alcohol.
Oh, good golly.
You want to take three tiny sips and leave each sip on your tongue to the count of five before you swallow.
All right, hold on a second.
Wow, it tastes better when you do that.
There you go.
Seriously.
And so what you're doing with that first sip is clearing your palate. The second sip is preparing your palate. The third sip, you're actually tasting it. Now, when I say preparing your palate, what I mean is everything else you've ever had to drink that's alcohol, it all starts from a sugar base.
Sure.
And those sugars from everything else you've ever had to drink all come from something that took a maximum of 6 months to grow.
Yeah.
Grapes, grains, whatever it is, 6 months.
Yeah.
The agave.
That's good on my tongue.
Right? Okay, we're going to have to cut her off.
Right.
The agave takes a minimum of 4 years. And I've got some agave that have taken 40 years to harvest. So your sugars are maturing over 40 years versus 6 months. They're so much more complex.
Is your palate sophisticated enough to where when you taste one, you say, I'm going to say 5 years, 10 years. Can you tell the aging just by the taste of it?
Me? No. I've got horrible allergies. Some people can. I've got horrible allergies and I have dogs. I'm allergic to dogs. I live with dogs. I can't taste anything anymore.
Yeah.
But I've got friends who can taste it and they can't necessarily tell you, this is a 12-year agave.
Yeah.
But they can tell you this is from this region of Mexico. It's made with a clay pot still versus a copper pot still. It is fermented in wood versus fermented in bull hide. Like, they can tell you that stuff. I'm just not that slick.
Different flavors on both of these. Completely different flavors.
Yep. One is Eduardo Angeles and roasted in earth, and one was Tio Rey from Sola de Vega.
Yeah. Yeah. So Eduardo's the guy who pulled me into this. Eduardo Angeles from Santa Catarina Minas is the guy who got me so obsessed with this. So he stopped me one day. He knew that I ran nonprofits here in Chicago, one of which is Storybus. And so it's an education nonprofit. And he asked me, can you help me educate the people in my town? Can you help me build a library? Mm-hmm. So I started bringing this stuff back, raising money and sending that money back down to build libraries in rural Mexico.
And so he's doing that, educating those people, educating the world, and also providing some great events where you can get some of these great flavors and education. So before we let you go, Lou, you've got an event tomorrow, right? You want to give information?
Tomorrow evening, really small event. It's a preview of Mexico in a Bottle. Mexico in a Bottle is an annual festival of mezcal in Chicago. So we're doing a preview dinner at Presidio from 7 to 9 p.m., $150 a ticket. You also get a ticket then to the festival in October. So you can find that online at agavedinner.com. And then I've also got early October the Fermentation Festival up in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. And we're going to have that guy, Eduardo Angeles, here in Wisconsin doing a dinner.
Oh, excellent. It's real quick, is it an insult to the mezcal to turn this into a margarita, or is everything okay when you're doing that?
If you do that to my mezcal, I'll break your fingers. But if you want to do that with somebody else's,
it's okay.
You know, however somebody can come to the spirit and fall in love with it, as long as they also then taste it neat. Because I want them to move to a space where they're paying $300 a bottle for great stuff so that money can help fund these communities.
Oh, all right.
And okay. So, Lou, social media-wise, where can people follow you?
Go to sacredagave.org. If you want to get a sample of agave spirits, go to agavetriangle.org, donate $25 to Replant Agave, and then the receipt, you can take that to these four different restaurants and bars in Logan Square, and they will each give you a taste of a different agave spirit.
And the receipt has a worm in it. Isn't that weird? I've never
I'll
seen
eat
that
it.
Before. I don't know how that happened.
Nice to meet you, Lou.
Thanks very much.
Dane, thanks so much. We'll take a quick break. Some news is next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.